The top stories from the KCBS Radio Newsroom. This is the All Local.
Instead of beating the heat, folks in Fremont are relishing it at the city's Aqua Adventure Water Park. KCBS's Megan Goldsby is there.
There's a big lap pool, a 700-foot lazy river, four large water slides, and a play structure for younger kids. Basically, the perfect place to be as the temperature rises, especially, says Jimmy Dilks with the park, after a cool start to the summer.
Attendance is up compared to what it's been, like for the last few weeks, but still I think a lot of people are fighting the, you know, the cold. The marine layer in the morning's kind of like, you know, dampening the water park, but it is up a tick for today.
Matt lives in Fremont and brought his family their season pass holders. He was soaking in the sun.
The whole Bay Area hasn't been hit with a heat wave. I think 2 years ago it was way too hot, and then the past few years has been not hot enough.
And though he'd be on the slides no matter the temperature, his son, 11-year-old Jace, says this is a great way to cool off. I asked him for a hot tip on which slide to hit up first when you arrive.
If you're really looking for a fast and dark ride, I say the closed one's the best. But for like a peaceful and calm ride, I say open. It's still fast, but also calm.
In Fremont, Megan Goldsby, KCBS.
7 years after Salesforce Tower took over as San Francisco's tallest building, the same developer is planning a skyscraper that is even taller. As KCBS's David Welch reports, the former PG&E headquarters near the Embarcadero may turn into the home of the city's tallest high-rise.
It's a long way from furniture and accessories, but the developer Hines, which was behind Salesforce Tower, just filed paperwork for a project that's over 1,000 feet taller. That application, which calls for a new, slender tower to replace an existing building at 77 Beale Street, would be by far San Francisco's tallest. And Supervisor Matt Dorsey, who represents the neighborhood, says he welcomes the project.
What I mentioned to the mayor when I saw him today is, I said, Mayor, now it's time for your legacy and mine.
A statement from Mayor Daniel Lurie's office describes a similar optimism, and Dorsey says what has him so excited are bold ideas from a seasoned developer.
To me, this is a vision that reflects what 21st century urbanism is supposed to be.
Plans call for a mix of retail, office, and housing, and although it's early, Dorsey says the momentum is already there.
This is a real statement moment.
He says the next step, Hines getting it built. In San Francisco, David Welch, KCBS.
Race fans are gearing up for another big NASCAR weekend at Sonoma Raceway and the return of the Toyota Save Mart 350. KCBS's Mike DeWald reports fans from 44 states and 11 countries are arriving in the North Bay for race weekend.
After 3 months of prep, Sonoma Raceway is ready for the big one.
We run 300 days a year with a ton of activity, but NASCAR Toyota Save Mart 350 is our grand champion there.
Brian Flynn is executive vice president of Sonoma Raceway. He says the track takes a beating, and that means a lot of work.
Prepping, you know, painting, striping, street bonding, you know, pavement maintenance. There's a lot that goes into it that most people don't realize.
Drivers do most of their practice on simulators ahead of time. They'll only get about 20 minutes on the track before qualifying. Bubba Wallace says Sonoma Raceway is a challenge unique to the NASCAR circuit.
I have no freaking idea, but it kicks my butt every time I get there. I keep showing up. I have to keep showing up. I want to keep showing up to figure it out and get better. But man, this place is the hardest track for me personally. And I honestly don't know why.
Expect heavier traffic on North Bay highways ahead of Sunday's 12:30 start. At Sonoma Raceway, Mike DeWald, KCBS.
With the sanitation workers' strike now in its fourth day, KCBS's Jennifer Hodges reports the city of Fremont is actually seeing some of its trash picked up today.
It's okay. We're doing all right.
Amy Davis owns Banter Books here in downtown Fremont. She says things are starting to pile up.
Basically, our packing materials. We're lucky that we don't have a lot of, we don't have food waste here at the bookstore or, you know, so it's mostly the recycling that's impacting us.
Sanitation workers with Republic Services walked off the job earlier this week, but Fremont city officials say substitutes were brought in to do four routes total, two residential and two commercial in Fremont. Usually there'd be 60 routes.
I mean, that's awful.
Agnes says because it's been hot, she can actually smell garbage piling up.
Some of the garbage is outside, but some of those are inside the garage. And you smell, we can smell that.
Trash is still being picked up at essential businesses like hospitals. In Fremont, Jennifer Hodges, KCBS.
The Bay Area Air Quality Management District has issued an air quality advisory as we head into what should be a beautiful weekend. KCBS's Raquel Maria Dillon reports.
Smoke is impacting air quality in parts of the Bay Area, mainly inland, like in the Tri-Valley. It started yesterday afternoon and is just blowing out today. CAL FIRE spokesman and battalion chief David Acuna explains where it's coming from.
Two large fires over 1,000 acres are the Green Fire in Shasta and the Orleans complex in Del Norte and Siskiyou, and both of those were results of a severe lightning storm that went through last week.
You might notice the haze, but the particulate matter is staying high up in the atmosphere, so it's not as unhealthy as it could be. Here's National Weather Service Warning Coordination Meteorologist Brian Garcia.
We have those morning low clouds and fog, and then it dissipates by the time we get into the late morning. And we're left with sunshine and maybe some cool onshore wind, so it's not going to be baking hot, and it's not going to be freezing cold.
It's Goldilocks weather, he says. I'm Raquel Maria Dillon, KCBS.
A disturbing new report from the Centers for Disease Control suggests the incidence of prediabetes is exploding among teens and preteens. KCBS's Eric Thomas has more.
The new CDC data shows that an estimated 1 in 3 teens ages 12 to 17 have prediabetes. That means their blood sugar levels are higher than normal, but not high enough yet for a diabetes diagnosis. However, doctors say prediabetes raises the risk of developing type 2 diabetes and ripple effects like heart disease and stroke. Dr. Sunil Kaliwad is a professor of medicine at UCSF and an expert on diabetes. He says there is some skepticism about the new data because the numbers haven't been published in a peer-reviewed journal yet.
The scientific community hasn't really had a chance to see the full slate of the data, how the data were exactly analyzed, and the specific reasons why the estimates that these data and analysis reflect are different from those that were reflected in data from 3 years ago and 5 years ago.
But even if the prevalence of prediabetes is not 1 in 3, it is still too high in the U.S., and the number one cause is obesity. Dr. Kaliwad says type 2 diabetes normally strikes when a person is in their 50s or 60s, but if this trend continues, we could see the condition develop in people in their 20s and 30s. Eric Thomas, KCBS.
The man already serving a 40-year prison term for kidnapping and raping a Vallejo woman in 2015 has been sentenced again to an additional 7 years in prison. Matthew Muller was in Contra Costa County Court to learn his fate. This is linked to a home invasion in San Ramon, also in 2015. The attack happened at around the same time as the infamous Vallejo case that was later featured in the Netflix docuseries American Nightmare. Muller is serving 40 years in federal prison for kidnapping and sexually assaulting Denise Huskins. Vallejo police initially dismissed her story as a hoax, only to reverse course after Muller's arrest. Muller has also been sentenced for home invasions in Sacramento and Santa Clara counties, crimes he admitted to once he was caught and put in jail. Authorities in Yolo County have identified all 7 people who died when a fireworks warehouse exploded in the town of Esparto earlier this month. The Yolo County Sheriff's Office announced today that they completed DNA analysis of the remains found on July 1st at the warehouse owned by Devastating Pyrotechnics. The victims, all men, were from California communities including Stockton, San Francisco, San Andreas, Sacramento, and San Pablo. 3 were brothers. The exact cause of the explosion has not yet been determined. The San Francisco Giants are honoring one of the team's greatest and most controversial figures as part of the 25th anniversary of Oracle Park. The team is celebrating Barry Bonds and his lasting impact on Major League Baseball tomorrow, ahead of the Giants' afternoon game against the Dodgers. Bonds himself is scheduled to throw out the first pitch during the pregame festivities, and the first 20,000 people who arrive at Oracle Park will receive a bobblehead of the home run record holder. The Giants will also debut The House That Barry Built, a new documentary about Bonds' career. The gates open tomorrow at 11:05 a.m. A Gallup poll shows a substantial jump in the share of Americans who view immigration as positive for the U.S. since President Trump took office. About 8 in 10 U.S. adults say immigration is a good thing, marking a 25-year high. The poll finds the share of Americans wanting U.S. immigration reduced has dropped from 55% to 30% in the past year. largely driven by Republicans becoming more content with the country's immigration levels. Americans have grown less supportive of deporting immigrants in the country illegally and more supportive of pathways to citizenship for those brought to the U.S. illegally as children. These shifting attitudes could complicate Mr. Trump's push for sweeping deportations.
Subscribe to the All Local wherever you get your podcasts and stream us on your smart speaker 24/7 by saying, play KCBS Radio.